You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back in. This is the HD Show, filling in for The Bench. Fred Davis, Henry Thomas, John B. We are in here making it happen. We're putting a boot to 2020. It's our last broadcast for the year 2020.
Well, at least on ESPN.
Yeah, on the ESPN. Hopefully 2021, we can start the year off with you guys again. Hint, hint. But we want to say to everybody, we're hoping everybody have a great outlook for 2021.
Got to.
Put 2020 behind us. Learn from it. Keep it hot.
Well, Joe Biden already told us that the worst is still to come with the COVID. So I don't know if that was a...
just getting your mind right.
Is he just trying to get us all just ready for I mean, what's going on? Or
no.
I mean, on one hand, he's tweeting it, you know, he's going to unite us all. And then in the next phrase, it's, but hey, we're going to unite. But oh, by the way, the worst is still out there.
And we're going to be united.
Thanks,
under
Joe.
The worst. We're going to be united under the worst. Quit reading stuff into it. He said you're going to unite. There might be something bad coming, but we're going to do it together as a group. Stop it. Come on. Hear what he's saying. You know, I'm sorry.
Oh, I hear him.
Okay, listen.
Oh, I hear him.
You know what 2021 is going to be about? And you already said it.
Chicken sandwiches?
The chicken sandwich. Let's go out to the phone line, to the HR&B phone lines, and see what James got to talk about, a chicken sandwich.
Oh, what's going on, guys?
Not much. What's happening, sir?
Oh, man, just doing enough. You know, getting my second breakfast in, waiting for y'all, you know?
Second breakfast?
Yeah. You know, okay. I'm about that food life. I'm about that food life. You got to eat
you
first
and John,
thing in the morning.
You and John
wake
B.
Up,
now, he sounds like
you know,
a health
first
guy,
when
though.
You wake up, hit the gym, and then your second breakfast after that. You
there
know?
You go.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. Yeah, yeah.
See, John B. is all about the two breakfasts. He just it's that gym part in the middle that we need to get John
on. Him on.
Yeah, he's not about that. He's not about that work life.
It's all right.
Know?
We'll get him there. We'll get him there.
Yeah, yeah. What I was going to tell y'all, though, man, y'all were talking about chicken sandwich and just chicken in general. I don't know if y'all have ever messed with that Waffle Bus. Man, that place is so live. Like, they got these sauces, and they got these, you can get like a waffle, and they put like chicken in the middle of it. Dude, it is like, I mean, I might pass up on the booty for some chicken first. You know?
Woo!
It's live like that.
That's
it's live
strong
like that.
Right
I'm,
there.
And
hold
and I'm
on.
A yeah, you know, if I'm thinking about chicken, I can't work. You know what I'm saying?
What's the name of this place? The what?
Waffle Bus.
The Waffle Bus. It's over there, kind of like in mid, like almost out by Washington Avenue, I think Shepherd.
Okay.
Dude, it's live. I mean, you got to wait in line, you know, like anything worth the name.
Yeah.
You can get it to go post up outside on the curb and just do work, you know.
Waffle Bus.
The Waffle Bus, man. I'm telling you, it's live.
Waffle Bus. We're checking it out. All right, James, real quick, give us a goal for 2021.
Oh, man. Shoot, 2020 kind of worked out all right for me. So I'm one of those ones that, you know, thrive. So I just, kept doing me, man. Hope, you know, shoot, chilling.
Give me a sports goal for 2021.
My Cowboys not to be trash anymore, and hope Dak comes back, and you know what I'm saying? Like, hope Dak comes back. Man, he seems like a live dude, man. He seems like a really cool dude, man. I don't want him to be like go out like that.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be a minute for Dak.
All right. I appreciate you, James.
But Dak is going to be a moment. I think
all right, so.
So.
Let me write these down. James. Tell you what, James just coming with the knowledge today. Two things from James today that you want to take away from this show if you take away nothing else. One, the Waffle Bus.
Waffle Bus.
Okay, the Waffle Bus off of Shepherd in Washington. Two, he wants Dak to come back healthy. Okay. All right. So the bar's been set, ladies and gentlemen. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The gauntlet has been set. The Waffle Bus and Dak coming back in 2021. What is your main chicken source? And two, what's your sports goal for 2021 if 2020 was all right for you? James had a good 2020. He thrived in 2020. So really, he just wants to keep on keeping on in 2021 was the takeaway for me.
I like it. I like it.
I got to go check out this Waffle Bus.
I know you're going to.
I'm going to go check it out. I want to see what it's all about.
Okay.
By the way, what are you doing for New Year's Eve? I got my daughter coming down, so we got to decide what we're going to do for New Year's Eve. She said she wants to see fireworks. Here's my thing, though. I don't know that there's going to be a whole... obviously, I know people are going to buy fireworks. I know people go do their thing at home. But are there going to be any kind of events? Are there going to be any kind of... I don't know that they're going to do anything downtown. My guess would be that they wouldn't because of the COVID in 2020. And that's why we're not going to see any fireworks or any kind of activities or tomfoolery due to the Rona.
I don't know about fireworks and what have you, because I know I'm doing New Year's Eve for me is amateur hour.
It absolutely is.
We got officers that aren't happy to be working, glad to help you, but aren't happy to be working. So if you're doing something stupid, they're agitated. And most of the time, somebody is doing something stupid. And I don't want to be around it. I can sit at home. I got, for Christmas, I got this bottle of, I can't even tell you what the name of it is. It's a whiskey.
Cristal?
You know I like whiskey.
Yeah.
Glenlivet, Glenfiddich. I'm a Scotch
Cristal
guy.
Cristal whiskey.
No, Cristal's not that. Okay. All right. You can't get whiskey from a grape.
Is that what that is?
But.
Learned something new today.
Sit around and drink that and watch television. Hang out with the pups.
Yeah.
Just me and them chilling. I'm good.
Sounds like a rousing start to 2021 for you.
I understand it's going to be rainy and cold anyway.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so.
I already asked John B. what he's doing. He's going to be working.
Yeah, we know that.
All right, so John B. is going to be here all day tomorrow doing his thing on ESPN 97.5 and then switching over to Sports Map Radio around, 9, 10 o'clock, somewhere in there maybe?
Somewhere between 10 and 11. Yeah,
okay. Somewhere in there. What show's going to be on? Do you know?
Oh, it's the overnight stuff. Yeah, it's just pre-programmed stuff and things like that.
You know what? Since he's doing that, since you're going to be looking for fireworks, you need to go by the Waffle Bus, drop him off something.
We can go by the Waffle Bus tomorrow.
I like the way you think, man.
Drop him off something.
Have you been to the Waffle Bus?
I have not.
Have you heard of the Waffle Bus?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it or anything.
So okay. We go.
Yeah.
I'll kick in, give you some money, go to Waffle Bus, bring it over to him, drop it off, and then
the line is.
Then he'll stop. Right there. That's it. That's the last thing to the new year. Here we go.
If I was by myself,
yeah,
that'd be one thing, but I'm going to have a teenager with me.
Oh, even better.
Uber Eats is fine.
I like where your head's at. I like it.
Tell you what. Uber Eats is better than DoorDash. I can tell you that much.
Oh, really?
I've never used either, so I don't know.
I've used DoorDash the last two times, and I kid you not, I ordered from this place, asked for a Sprite. You know what they put it in?
7-Up?
No, they put it in like a little bucket, like a little plastic, like you would get a side dish in.
Your Sprite was in that?
My Sprite was in a little
like a
bucket.
Soup bowl?
Yes! They put my Sprite in a soup bowl, which I wouldn't have cared tasted like Sprite, but it didn't even taste like Sprite.
How is that DoorDash's fault? Isn't it the establishment that you ordered from?
I don't care. You know what?
Hey. And you're putting blame on the wrong thing.
I don't care. I guess what? Didn't have that problem with Uber Eats.
They didn't make the dish.
Doesn't matter.
So did you order at the same place?
Yeah. Did you get Sprite from the same place?
Nope. What do you mean?
Did you get Sprite on both? DoorDash.
No, it's a different place.
It's a different place. See, so you be mad at the place. Don't exactly. be mad at.
Don't care. Don't care.
Don't be down.
I know this.
See, that's
Uber Eats that had no issues.
Fake news.
See? No, because here's the other thing too. So,
mate,
so,
where are you? I got somebody for
so
you.
The
got
first
your
time
mate.
I ordered from DoorDash, they give me Sprite in a soup bowl. Then the second time I ordered last night, I wanted sweet and sour sauce with my chicken.
Uh-huh.
Guess what? Didn't come sweet and sour sauce. I'm done with you, DoorDash.
You should be done with the establishment. Now, DoorDash ain't cooking nothing. They're not a restaurant.
The sweet and sour sauce is probably the driver's fault. They should have grabbed that.
It's everybody's fault. Because I'm going to tell you what.
Did you ask for it?
Yeah, I did.
Specifically said, I need sweet and sour sauce.
It was one of the options. It said, what sauce do you want? And I clicked the button that said sweet and sour.
Oh, so you didn't talk to anybody. You mad at
are
the rope.
Are you familiar with how apps work?
Are you
it's called electronic, and you don't talk to anybody. Hence why it's an app.
Well, are you familiar with my aptitude at cooking? I don't need all that.
I know you don't. But guess what? This ain't about your cooking. This is about Fred ordering off of a food app and expecting what I ordered to arrive. And it didn't.
So?
And I'm just saying that under five times with Uber Eats, never had any issues. Two times with DoorDash, I'm done with you.
It's DoorDash.
Don't care. Don't care.
Okay, don't use DoorDash. Thank I don't you. Use either one. There's a thing that came out, I don't know. Wow, how long ago was that? It's called the stove. Put your pots on there, yeah. Cook yourself up, you know, and what? You won't have no disappointment.
That's one of my goals for 2021 right there, Henry Thomas. I like where your head's at. I like where your head's at. All right, coming up next. I still think the Houston Texans job is number one. Have you given your number one job? You did, the Lions. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that. When we return, three bold moves we'd like to see the NFL pull off in 2021. Don't go anywhere. John, Fred, Henry, ESPN.
97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Last morning show of 2020 right here. ESPN 97.5, John out, chilling this week. Our boy Lance doing draft prep this week. You know, we were going to come up with a third round mock draft for your Houston Texans, considering there is no first and second round pick this year.
And that is very difficult to do, seeing how you don't know who's going to be there, who's going to be gone.
I mean, you've got a ballpark idea.
Nope.
No, I mean, you do.
You don't?
No, you do.
You know who's going first.
You do know, but you kind of have a rough. I mean, you can get 10 to 15 players in that ballpark.
Who's going in? Give me three players that are going in the top 10.
In the top 10? Oh, that's
not
easy.
Named Trevor Lawrence.
That's easy.
Well, he's going to be in the top 10. So
I was going to say, so you can't take that away. So there's Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
Justin Fields. And give me that tight end from Dallas. Give me that tight end from Florida. Kyle. Not Kyle Trask, that's the quarterback. But Kyle Pitts, I think.
Okay, Kyle Pitts.
Somewhere in there.
That's your top three, going to go in the top 10.
I wouldn't be surprised. And you know what? I'll give you a sleeper pick, too. I'll give you a fast riser. That quarterback from BYU. So there's four. There's four for your money. He's a white guy.
U. No. Really? Really? Thank you.
Narrows it down. You like that? You like that? Because, hey, listen, you just never know with BYU.
Well, it just when you said that.
You just never know just with sounded, BYU.
Just sounded like a 10-year career as backup.
Hey, after the mission, of course. After he gets back from the mission. Preaching the word of the Lord, of course.
I have no context for that one.
Well, because the Mormons.
They go
on the mission.
I don't know what they do. I'm just saying. I have no idea. I have no.
Well, they're gone for like 2 years, though. That's the thing. The mission takes a couple years.
Okay, that's what you got to do.
I mean, I feel like you knew that. You know this.
I don't know this.
You've never heard of the Mormons taking the mission. That's why they're
It was hard enough for them to get me to go to Baptist church.
You're just such a well-rounded guy. I just figured this was basic information that you knew already.
That sounds like a sharp edge. Nothing that'll keep me rounded.
No, I mean it's fairly. I think you. Like I said, I'm kind of surprised you don't know that.
I don't know that. I don't know much about the Mormon religion.
You ever watch Big Love? That show on HBO? Mm-hmm. I could see you being Mormonish. I could see some Mormonish vibes.
Are there any
black Mormons?
I don't know.
713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Do we have any black Mormons out there?
I don't, like I said, I know.
I don't know that we do.
Well, apparently you know all about the Mormons.
I don't know all about them. I know enough to be dangerous, but I don't know that there's any black Mormons.
Well, that's all I need to know. If you don't know any black Mormons,
no,
apparently it's not the religion for black folks.
No, it's not. Jehovah's Witnesses, I know black Jehovah's Witnesses. I do not know any black Mormons. I know you know some Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, yeah. Family, everything. We got plenty of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Now, see, why are there black Jehovah's Witnesses, but there ain't no bruh Mormons?
First off, Jehovah is a bruh. You got it?
Yeah, I bought his last alpha.
That's how it started. That's so. The Mormons, I don't think they got any. I mean, they ain't got no.
Didn't recruit any, bro.
They ain't got no deities that, you know. I don't even know enough about them. I don't even know where it comes from, where it started. I think it started here in the United States.
No, it went down in Utah. That's where it went down.
So it's a young religion.
What's that? Yeah, it's.
See?
Well,
Jehovah's Witness is old.
Brigham.
There you go.
Let's go out to TJ. TJ allegedly has had some insight on the Mormons. Okay. What's up, TJ?
TJ, you there?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good,
hey,
man. Yeah, oh, man, good, we make good, it.
That's good. Yeah, I used to be in the service, and then I got called by one of my other homeboys and said something about, hey, you know, old buddy that served with us, he converted because he had got married to this one girl and he converted to being a Mormon and he's black.
So he was like the Sammy Davis Jr. of Mormons.
Wow, really?
That pretty much sums it up, yeah.
That's some strong ass get you to change gods.
Do we know if they're still married?
Yes, they are.
Oh, really? Three kids? And well, that's very Mormonish then to have three kids. Is he living in Salt Lake?
No, he's not. I'm trying to remember where he is stationed now. He was in North Texas in Wichita, but I forgot where he got stationed. I think he might be in Nebraska now.
Okay. All right. So, but brother that did convert to Mormonism.
There you go. See, you asked the question. There's your answer.
There's our answer. TJ, real quick. A, thanks for your service. B, give me a 2021 goal.
2021 goal? Try not to choke anybody in 2021 because they are too stupid to wear masks.
My man, I love it.
All right, there you have it. All right.
Hey, take care and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Sir. Trying not to choke anyone in 2021. Okay, fair enough.
I like it.
I'm okay with it. So we've got our first. So we've got our first black Mormon.
We've heard of our first
black converted.
Who converted.
Isn't Mormonism, don't they have multiple wives?
They can, yes.
Is that it? Yeah,
they can, yes. There is that aspect of the Mormon faith that, that's why I said I could see you.
I can't have multiple wives at the same time. I mean,
you could.
I've had multiple wives. I mean, I got the original, the sequel, and the trilogy.
Yes.
But all together?
At the same time?
Lord of mercy.
So there you have it. We learned something new today.
We learned something new today.
The Sammy Davis Jr. of the Mormon faith right there. And see, that's an example that everybody can relate, that everybody know, that most people, when you say that, oh, okay, I get that. So there you have it. All right. Three big change. Can we get some changing music? By the way, we got Brumman coming up next. Let me get a little changing music, and it's whatever you want it to be, John Bellamer. It's whatever you want it to be. It's your world. We're just living in it. Okay? Three bold moves that we'd like to see in 20. I mean, you couldn't ask for much better music than that. You couldn't ask for better music than that. Three bold moves we'd like to see in 2021. My first one, I want to see the Falcons trade either Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, or both, is my first one.
That's bold.
I think that's
crazy.
I think that ship has sailed for the Atlanta Falcons. I think it's time to move on. I think if you're going to make a clean start, you need a clean break. And I think you could. I think you could seriously make some serious hay by moving both Ryan and Julio. Or both, or some combination thereof, and get that franchise. Because again, you got your draft picks. Now you add more to that. Now all of a sudden you got something to work with.
Got a head coach coming in.
And you got a division that, you know, in the, I mean, let's call it what it is, that in that NFC South, all right, you got Drew Brees, who's probably going to retire after this year. So, and I don't know that what you're going to see out of Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. All right, you got Tom Brady, who's probably got, what, another year left, more than likely. And then you got a Carolina team in Teddy Bridgewater, who's good, not great. So that's a division that's, to me, kind of up in the air for the next half decade. So, or, you know, or is that where your impetus that says, okay, because you've got a division that could be potentially on the mend over the next 3 or 4 years, do you go ahead and hold on to a Matt Ryan and see what he's got left? Or you just say, let's make hay while we can, get what we can while we still can?
Well, one of them, okay, you hold on to Matt Ryan. Is he any good without Julio? Who else do they have?
You got Calvin Ridley.
Got Ridley, yeah. And you find another guy. Or is Julio any good without Matt?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think finding somebody for Julio Jones or having him be his biggest issue is just, is he going to stay healthy?
Healthy, right. He does take a few pops. So, I mean, I don't like the move either way. I think they should keep both of them and let's see what their new coach and coaching staff can bring to the table.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, even if they don't do anything, next year's still a hot commodity. They'll both be great trade bait, but I don't see doing it now. But although that would be a bold move.
Just so you know, our boy Matt Ryan in year 13, 4-11 this year, since their Super Bowl season. Okay, since their Super Bowl season. Was that 2016, 2017?
The collapse, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that was 2016. 2017. 7 wins, 7 wins, 4 wins.
Okay.
7 wins, 7 wins, 4 wins. Has not been above 500 since that Super Bowl.
Talk when we come back from the break.
When we come, okay. Well, coming
you
up,
tell
next,
me his numbers. Oh, we got.
Tell you what, we got Brumman okay. Coming up next. In the final hour, we'll break down. It's going to be all football. The final hour, we'll finish up what we want to see in 2021. We'll do our own personal goals in 2021. Then we'll also give you our Super Bowl picks.
Done.
And haikus. All right. So huge.
I got to do my haikus.
Yeah, we got to do haikus as well. So a huge. You know, we may just do one.
Okay.
Maybe we'll just do one big one and for 2020. Haikus, end of year, Super Bowl picks, put a bow on it. Bruhman next. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back in. ESPN 97.5, filling in for The Bench, Fred Davis, Henry Thomas, as well as our boy John B. on the 1-2s.
And 3.
All right, without further ado, let's take it out to the HR&P listener line. And a gentleman that is very well known in this area. And for anybody that grew up in the 90s, well, I'll tell you what, you remember this gentleman all too well. You may know him by his regular name, Reggie Ballard, or you may know him by one of the greatest characters in television history, the one, the only, Bruh Man from Galveston Ball High School, the one, the only, Reggie Ballard. Mr. Ballard, a.k.a. Bruh
Man. Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man?
How you doing, my man?
Hey, man. Yeah, I got a couple sandwiches.
Some chicken sandwiches.
That's right. Well, listen, we're going
to... What's happening?
Hey man, we're doing well on a Wednesday, getting ready to wrap up 2020. And I know, listen, this year has been absolutely bonkers for damn near everybody involved. And we're gonna get to your 2020 because I know you've had a pretty wild 2020 as well. And we want to get to just kind of your career because again, you've had a very memorable career and played one of the most memorable characters in sitcom history. But before we get to that, here we are. We're on a sports radio station, and let's call it what it is. I mean, before you became an actor, you were a pretty damn good linebacker and a pretty damn good football player, both in high school and in college. For the folks that don't know about Reggie Ballard, let the folks at home know a little bit about your days growing up in Galveston and playing a little ball at SMU.
Yeah, man. I mean, sure. You know, that was like, you know, Texas is football is like religion, man. I mean, if you can make it playing football in Texas, you can make it playing football anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's just it. You know, and I was able, man, to get a scholarship. You know, I was a blue chip athlete coming out of high school, man. It's funny because coaches, they used to stake outside my house, man, at night, you know, in their cars to make sure that another school wasn't getting the jump. It was crazy, man. I mean, I couldn't even, my mother almost went crazy because the phone used to ring off the hook. She used to just have to leave the phone off the hook, man.
That was back in the day when we had phones. Y'all see, everybody's like, off the hook. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I know. They don't know about that.
Yeah,
right?
You just lay the phone. You just take it off, and all you get is an signal when you call.
Hey, that was our block.
Right? That's right. That's it.
That's how you blocked people back then. So how did you end up on SMU then? Because I'm guessing, because you graduated what year?
Well, it was funny, man, because I think it came down to TCU, SMU, and well, basically those two schools, man, and Coach Pope, man, Kenneth Pope, he played at Ball High back in the day. He was the coach, receivers coach at SMU, and he recruited me. So I was in class, man, and he knew Ball High real well. So that day assigned him, man, he came in, saw him in the hall. He said, "Hey, man, you ready to sign?" And I was like, "Yeah, Coach, I'm ready." But I kind of knew I wanted to go to SMU in the 10th grade, man. When I seen Eric Dickerson, I went to see SMU in Houston playing the Dome. My sophomore year in high school, man, I seen ED, man. When ED, he was so cold running the ball, man, I said, I'm going to SMU. I like the uniforms, ED, man. I'm like, I'm going to SMU, man. And that's basically how it happened, man. You know, he came and saw me, and he said, "You ready to sign?" So I said, "Yeah, Coach." My mind wasn't really made up, but by him knowing the school and knowing, you know, the area, and he came up, I said, "All right, cool." He took me to my coach's office. Man, I didn't know they had Texas A&M in there, Baylor, all other schools. I didn't even know. And he came and he said, "Yeah, well, y'all, I'm sorry, but he already said he signed with SMU."
And it was it. That was it.
That was it, man. That's the wrap, man.
So you go to SMU, you play 3 years there, and then I guess what? That's when the sanctions hit, and you said the hell with this
man.
Place.
You guys got that 30 for 30, man.
That's right. So you're
the pony excess,
right? Okay. So, how much did you know about that? I mean, how did you hear whispers about it, or when did you kind of get hip to what was going on over there?
Oh, shucks, man. I always plead the fifth on
you. I got you. Exactly.
It was a situation where, you know, they said it was three players still getting paid because they had to finish it. Well, they had me as one of them, you know, and I was like, man, look, dog, I got a scholarship, and that's all you're getting out
that's
of
it. That's right.
That's all they were getting out of Reggie. So what made you decide to go to Mizzou your last year?
Well, it's crazy, man, because that last year I needed 3 hours to transfer, man, to another school. So I took a theater for non-majors class. And, man, I excelled in the class, man. I mean, I was like, I never made A's in college, man. You know?
Take a theater class.
But in that class, man, I was making A's, man. I was just killing it. And the teacher was like, "God, dog, dude, you know, you pretty good." So it was Illinois. I was gonna go to Illinois or West Virginia, man. Should have went to West Virginia. I'd have had a national championship. With Major Harris now. You know? So I went to Mizzou, man, and it was cool because when I went over there, man, I started, you know, majoring in theater, man, and I excelled in, you know, did plays, soldiers play, and true story, man. I told my friends, I said, yo, and I remember they was playing dominoes. I told them, I said, man, I'm going to go to Hollywood and hang with Stallone. You know? I said, next time you see me, I'm going to be on TV. So I left, man, and went to Hollywood. The first movie I did was with Stallone. And the next time I seen him catch, I was on TV, man. True story.
Really? What movie did you do with Stallone?
A movie called Lock Up. Remember Lock Up when he's in prison?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just an extra. I was just holding the gun on him. That's the only thing I did.
So
right. That's how it worked out, man.
Yeah.
So you're in Columbia, all right? And yep. I lived in Columbia for a hot minute. God bless you on that, especially for being a Jayhawk. That was tough. But you're in Columbia. You're doing your thing in the Big Eight back in those days. And so you graduate from Columbia, and then you just said, the hell with it. I'm going. So it really.
No. I didn't graduate. I just left in the middle of the whole thing.
Oh, man. Okay. So you finished football and said, I'm good. I did what I need to do.
I was done. You know, and Woody Wienhoff was the coach at the time, man. May he rest in peace. He said, he told me, man. He said, you know, man, you could go to the NFL right now, man. He said, you know, he was, I don't know, stroking my ego, man. He said, man, I coached Jack Lambert and all them dudes, man. You could go right now. But, man, my mind was already set, man. I was set to go to Hollywood and become an actor, man. I got tired of football. Man, football became it was like people expected you to do it because that's all you ever done in your life, you know what I mean? You was good at it. Football was so easy to me, man. I was fast, and I ran track. And, I mean, I used to coast and practice, you know, and it was just so easy. It came like it was second nature, man, until I hurt my knee. When I hurt my knee, then I realized, man, how other dudes had to work hard at being good. You know, it was like I took it for granted, man. But then, you know, it became like a job, man. It became a chore. It became, you know, difficult, man. I used to sit in practice, man. I didn't even like the way the grass smelled. I was so turned off to football, man. And I was one of them dudes that I didn't taste it no more, man. It's like I went up to, when I moved to California, went to Oakland first. And I was coming down here to play, you know, for the Raiders. I was telling people I was coming to play for the Raiders because my aunt, she was like, well, why you want to be an actor? This is a hard thing to do. You know, play football. So I said, all right, I'm coming out there. And I came out, man, and we did Oakland. And when I came out to L.A., man, that's when I got an agent and started doing what I do, man. But, you know.
And so I
went to the Cowboys, man, for a tryout, right?
Yeah.
And my uncle rode all the way. We drove from Galveston to Dallas, man. And my uncle told me after I ran the 40, I think I ran like a slow 40, man, like 4.7, 4.8, something like that. But my mind wasn't into it, man. We was driving back, and he told me, he said, Reg, man. He said, man, I was just happy to come up here ride with you because, you know, we talking and having a good time, but I know your mind wasn't into playing football no more.
And that was it?
Yeah, that was it, man. That was it. Once I turned off, you know, I look at it now, I never tasted, man. I just, you know, sometimes I hate and you know, miss being in the huddle and on the field, but I don't miss nothing about practice, man.
There's something to be said for that.
I don't miss nothing about tour days, man, in the heat in Texas.
Well, I tell you what, let's do this, because that's a perfect segue. Tell you what, we got to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to hear about you when you finally got to L.A., being an actor there, and then getting on Martin's show, and then, of course, what you and your wife are dealing with right now. Does that sound good?
Gotcha.
Perfect. Reggie Ballard, a.k.a. Brubman, right here, ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back in ESPN 97.5. Henry Thomas, Fred Davis, John Belmer on the 1-2s.
And 3s.
Right, let's go back out to the HRP listener line. The pride of Galveston Ball High School, the pride of Galveston, Texas, and a sitcom legend, the one, the only, Reggie Ballard, a.k.a. Bruhman from The Martin Show, joining us here. And so if you missed the first part of the interview, Reggie, tell him a little bit about his time in Galveston, being a baller at linebacker for Galveston Ball and then SMU. And we won't hold it against him that he went to Mizzou before going out to California. So you make the trip out to Cali. You go to L.A. Did you know what kind of actor you wanted to be? Was there any genre that attracted you the most? And then, well, obviously, you know, Bruhman became legendary.
Yeah, man. In the fourth grade, man, when I seen my first Bruce Lee movie, I knew I wanted to be an actor. Return of the Dragon, man. And so I always wanted to do kung fu movies, man.
Okay.
It's funny because I took martial arts when I was a kid. And one day I came home, my side was hurting, and my mother said, "No, that's karate. That's too tough for you. You got to get out of there and start playing football." I'm like, "Really? Really?" So it's easy to play football than it is doing martial arts. Okay, but so when I went out, man, like I said, I got an act. Me and my wife, we drove out, man. We packed our little Nissan Sentra, man. I think we had like $500. Back to the Nissan Sentra, man. I was riding all the way up. My chest was almost up against the steering wheel, man, because the car was so packed, you know, with unnecessary stuff, man. And rode out to Cali, man, and had all my football clippings from high school, college, and all my videotapes, man. And I had my only Vanessa Del Rio tape, man.
Yes, sir.
All that stuff got stolen, man. Got stolen as soon as I got to L.A.
Wow.
As soon as you got there, Vanessa Del Rio. I know our young men over there don't know. She was a hot.
They don't know that.
They don't know Vanessa Del Rio. Vanessa Del Rio was, she was like coffee of the porn.
That's, you know, right.
You like Pam Grier in the porn. She was that at the porn.
Okay, all
right. That's right. That's right. And man, my wife wedding dress. As soon as we got to L.A., man, my aunt told me, she said, "Y'all take all the stuff out of the trunk because this L.A. is not Texas." I said, "Okay, I get it tomorrow." She said, "I'm telling you, man, left that out there, man. All my stuff got stolen, dude."
Your first day there.
I even had an SMU poster when I was on the goal line. We stopped A&M on the goal line, man. A big old poster was in the frame. They even stole that.
Took everything.
So, yeah, did that, man. And, you know, came out and started auditioning. Got an agent, started auditioning for parts, man. And I was in this other show called True Colors, man. I played this character called Tyrell on Fox. And it was with Frankie Faison, Nancy Walker, and did that show, man. I did like 5 episodes of that show. You know, I was known as Tyrell on that show. Then one day they called me in to audition. Eileen McKnight, the casting director, called me to audition for Martin. I went in, I auditioned, and she was like, "Well, can you do it a little different? Can you do something different?" I said, "Okay." So, man, I just started putting the Texas flavor in there, man. You know, Texas, we always, the way we speak in Texas, man, it's like we kind of drag. You know, it's like, "Hey, man," you know, some people say, "If it don't get done today, get done tomorrow." Texas, we're like, "Yo, man, if it don't get done today, we get done tomorrow."
Right, right.
I put a little less flavor in there, man, and she took me over to see Martin and the producers. It was me and this other guy, man. So I auditioned, and she was like, Martin and was looking, man. I did the fifth flow thing with the four fingers. You know, they didn't. That wasn't even the script, man. Martin and was rolling, dude. And
so, how did that come about? Because what was the character, Bruhman, from the start? Or I mean, what were you auditioned for initially?
Well, Benny Richbury was the writer, man. He also became the exec producer over on The Fresh Prince, man.
Okay.
After, so he had wrote Brother Man. He said he wrote Brother Man was on a script, in the script.
Okay.
But he said that wasn't the character, the name that they was going to go with, because he just did it because he didn't know of the name of the character, because he had to get the script in.
Okay.
He said he was going to change the character, you know, later. So when I came in, I didn't say Brother Man. I came in and said, "Yo, man, it's Bruh Man from the fifth floor." And they loved it. They say, "Man, that's the name of the character.
That's it.
The name of the character." And we did it. like I say, Martin, them, man. You used to saw them in, when I was in audition. They would sit with their hats to the side looking at me straight gangster hard. You know, so I say, man, let me go in here. I went in and hit him. And Martin told me, say, man, the reason you got this part, dude, he said, because everybody came in. They was Hollywood, man, but you put that flavor in there, man. I like that flavor. And he said, you know, who knows, man? We might have you back. And that first episode, man, John cried. You know, the white guy played Sean?
Yes.
He told Martin, and he say, man, that joke funny. You know, when Martin them was hugging at the end, the first episode I did, they was hugging. And, like, you know, we need love. And John cried, said, man, you know, it'd be funny, man, if Bruh Man come at the end and hug the whole crew. The group and say, Bruh Man need love too. So that was his idea, man, and I did it. And the audience went crazy, man. And Martin say, dude, we're going to bring you back, man.
Wow.
And it's funny because a week before that, I was in Texas with my friend Tuffy, Eddie Fowler, man. He's the best, one of my best friends, man. And we was watching. He had all the episodes of Martin on VHS. You know, they don't know nothing about VHS.
So don't.
Yeah. So he had all the episodes. I was at home in Texas that week before, man. I went back to visit. And we was watching. I was on the floor dying, man, dying laughing at Dragonfly Jones. Man,
right.
That's like one of my favorite characters. I knew a dude named Karate Man in Galveston used to act just like Dragonfly Jones.
Yes, sir.
And he was on the floor dying, man. And a week later, man, I end up on the show, man. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So when you look at that, right, because, I, you know, the one thing about Martin is I don't know that Martin ever gets its due as just how important it was to just sitcoms. Because, I mean, let's call it what it is. Sitcoms aren't like they used to be, all right? I mean,
no, nothing like
I mean, in the 90s, man, I mean, like I said, I'm 39. I'll be 40 this year. You grew up watching sitcoms, whether it was, you know, I mean, I've always said Martin to me was the Black Seinfeld. And I just felt like with what y'all did on Martin – to me, is tantamount to what Seinfeld did. I just feel like that show was that important at that time.
Yeah. It was, man. I mean, you know, we had back then, Martin built Fox, man.
Yes.
You know, remember Fox was new? Yes. Martin and
you, The Simpsons, and Living Single.
Colors.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yep. That's how they came up, man. So, you know, I don't know why they don't have more, you know, black sitcoms, man, because this thing with Built Fox, you know, this is like Cosby did what he did for NBC.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, you think back to what y'all did. I mean, like I said, Fox. When you go back to the early Fox, you go back to what? The Tracy Ullman Show, Martin, and Married with Children, and The Simpsons. I mean,
Living Single,
and
True Colors,
Living Color,
yes, and Living Color. That's exactly right. Where for so you had your run on Martin, and what was kind of your career? Because you know you hear about guys who when they become kind of penciled into one character, it kind of affects mm-hmm. them throughout their career. How did Bruh Man help or hurt you moving forward?
Oh man, see that's what people don't understand, man, because I've done so many things. If you look at my resume, man, as far as dramatic stuff, comedy,
yeah.
I did, you know, right after the Martin, man, I segued right into Bernie Mac.
Okay.
You know, I did more, you know, people don't realize, I only did 12 episodes of Martin. I did like 40 episodes of Bernie Mac show, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, but in ER, NCIS, Bones, so many things, man. And, you know, my career is you know, matter of fact, I just got new agents about maybe a year and a half ago now. And so I'm just waiting for this pandemic to end. So, you know, and then, you know, other situation I've been going through, man, you know, with my health.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
what happened?
You know, it's 2020 been rough, man. I had a test, man, because I had to get a new kidney. So I had to take a test, and they took a test, man, and they found that I had a blockage in my heart. So they had to go in and do open heart surgery on me, man. I did wow. had open heart surgery. And then after that, you know, a few months later, I had to get a kidney, and my wife was my donor. And so we just had that done December 10th. And, you know,
how you feeling?
I'm recovering from that, man. I'm back almost to 100% now.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm blessed, man. And, yeah, you know, my wife, she's still going through it right now because they say the donor, you know, is harder on the donor than it is the recipient.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, so she's going through it, man, and bless her heart. I mean,
and this this is the same wife that rode out with you in that Centra, that jam-packed Centra, yes, 30-plus years ago?
I've been knowing it since the eighth grade, man.
So this is literally your A1 from day one right here.
That's it, baby. That's my diehard right there, man, the trooper.
Okay. Oh, God bless Mrs. Ballard.
No kidding.
Another ball high tour. Matter of fact, I have my boss. She got me some ball high pajamas for Christmas. I got them on. This is my first time wearing them. I'm talking to y'all in my tornado PJs, baby.
Let me ask you this then. So what does that tell you then that, you know, again, you've had you've been in Hollywood now for 30 years, and yet of all the characters you've done, it's really, it's almost like the guy that you did the least is the guy that you're most known for. I mean, I had no idea that you had done 40 episodes of the Bernie Mac show. I mean, you've been in movies. You've done, like I said, you've run the gamut of serious to comedy, but it's that 12 episode run as Bruh Man that we all know you by.
That's it, man. Because after the Bernie, I did Crumbs with Jane Curtin and William Devane, man, and what's my man name from John Sammy, Fred Savage, man. Yeah. So yeah, people just know that Bruh Man character is crazy because that character, man, has built a career for me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm on this site called Cameo, man, where I just tell people, you know, happy birthday, this Bruh Man from the fifth floor, and, you know, ching ching every time I do it, man.
I heard that.
So, you know, that character has been, you know, my golden ticket, man. And you know, some of you are like Jaleel White, you know, they say he gets upset, and Jimmy Walker get upset when you call him Urkel or you call him JJ, man. I love when people, you know, see me and say, Bruh Man, it's cool to me, man. I mean, you know, like Barry White, man, who also from Galveston, one of my favorite artists, Barry and Isaac Hayes. Barry say, you know, man, if you get one hit song in the music business, man, they say, man, that's a career, man. It's like, you know, you have accomplished something. So, you know, people like the character that we created for that show, man. If you like that, man, I mean, hey, man, LeBron James have a pair of shoes that he came out with, man. It had a Martin edition. And then the back, you know, it got Martin quotes, man. All Martin quotes. And he got the one in there that says, Bruh Man from the fifth floor on the shoe, man.
That's all you need right there. That's all you need right there. That's all you need right there.
He got that one that says, Bruh Man from the fifth floor. And that's what I did.
That's it.
So that's, and LeBron is my favorite basketball player even before that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love LeBron, man. I mean, I follow LeBron all the way. You know, when you see a talent that's extraordinary, man, you know, if you're an athlete, you know when you see something special.
When you know, you know.
You know.
I mean? When you know, you
yes,
know.
Yes, sir. So that's big to me, man. I mean, I have the shoes right now that I haven't even worn yet, man. I still have to lick the bottom of them. Like,
well, listen, we're up against it, and I'll tell you what, we'll be keeping our eyes out on Reggie Ballard in 2021.
Absolutely.
The Bruh Man for life, but we'd be remiss if we couldn't get you out of here with Bruh Man signing us off.
Yo, it's ESPN. Y'all check a brother out. Because they're going to have a whole lot of Serb sandwiches at the end.
Mr. Thank you Ballard, so much, thank man. You so much. I hope you have a fantastic 2021. Shout
and
out
God
to you and Mrs.
God bless you and
Ballard.
Your wife. God bless
you,
guys.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man. Y'all take it easy.
Same to you, my man. Same to you. Reggie Ballard, a.k.a. Bruh Man, right here on ESPN 975. Final hour of the program. Don't you go anywhere. This is Fred, Henry, and John.
Desperado. Sitting in a old Monte Carlo, a man inside his hollow. Take it easy. I'm not trying to go against you.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.